Good morning again.
Good morning.
It is good to see all you guys here this morning. We did finish Mark a few weeks ago. It just still feels strange not to stand up here and say continuing Mark, but we did that quite a while. We're transitioning into Ruth, which will be a few weeks away, but in between we're doing this mini-series. It's going to be short, but this idea of being renewed by God. Last week we focused on the need for renewal, why it was sin, and this week we'll look at the heart for a few minutes this morning. We'll be in Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 31. That'll be our starting off passage, and then we'll move around a little bit this morning together. We have a puppy. I'm going to say that a lot. I think my family thinks I'm a little too happy to have this thing, but we have a puppy, 8-week-old chocolate lab. So we're having fun in the house currently. It's doing what labs do. All fun things. We haven't lost any real treasures of the family yet, right? No blankies, none of that stuff. What if I told you this puppy was completely trained already? At 8 weeks old, it's never had an accident, obeys everything you say, and never chews on anything. Would you believe me? No? Probably not. I tell you these things, and then you swing by the house to see this puppy. And when you walk inside, you see stuffed animals shredded, and maybe tables and chairs missing whole legs because they've been chewed completely off. Many other things strewn about the house. Maybe the kids running, trying to catch it. Whatever it is, my words would give you this image of this perfect little dog. But when you saw the life being lived out by this animal, it would be a different story. This image is what we're going to look at today as we discuss being renewed by God. We're going to look at the heart today. And we're going to say that claiming your heart is renewed means your life should match. Not perfection, but change. A renewed heart is revealed through a renewed life. This will be in three parts. Old covenant, not enough. God had a better way. And what does the heart say? Jeremiah 31:31-34. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this morning together. We thank you that we are gathered as your people. Be with us now. Write our hearts and our minds for what you have for us on these pages this morning. Help us leave this place applying it to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're talking about the renewal of your heart by God this morning. When the Bible says heart, it does not mean the muscle in your chest. It means the source for your desires, your emotions, your very being. It means what drives you. We looked at sin last week and we said we all sin, and in doing so, we separate ourselves from God. Every one of us. This is why Jesus came. He came to pay for our sins so we could be judged by our sins no more. Judged on our faith in His perfection for us. Our faith in Him being the Son of God. We said also that this faith is brought on by the Spirit guiding your life. Made new by God's Spirit given to us. All who believe have been made new by God's Spirit. This renewal touches every aspect of your life, and we will look at the heart this morning. First, what is going on here in Jeremiah? Old covenant, not enough. Jeremiah is a prophet of God, and he's writing here between 550 and 600 B.C. Israel is a far cry from its former self under King David and Solomon. Ever since the reign of Solomon, Israel has been in a downward spiral. They eventually divide into two kingdoms. We see this listed here, Israel and Judah. The north and the south, and eventually both kingdoms fall. The north, known as Israel, falls in 722 B.C. to the Assyrians. And the south, known as the kingdom of Judah, falls in 586 B.C. to the Babylonians. Jeremiah is a prophet to the kingdom of Judah, and he tells them their impending doom they will face. And he lives through part of it. His book is all about how God's people had fallen away. They had forgotten their covenant with them, forgotten their laws and their faith. They had ignored God at every turn, and judgment was coming. This is the message from this book. Rampant sin, a broken covenant, and judgment was coming. Judgment in the form of Assyria and Babylon, and future judgment from God in the end. All had gone astray, no one was righteous, and their unrighteousness was leading to suffering. Does that sound familiar? This is the Jews and the Romans in the time of Jesus. This is the book of Romans we talked about last week, Romans 1, 2, 3. This is our society today. Do not think the Old Testament as outdated. It is all God's word, and it all speaks to our lives. Amen. Jeremiah also writes about something else here. Redemption. Being made new by God. Jeremiah calls it a new covenant. Since he speaks for God, God calls it a new covenant. A new covenant implies the old one was not enough. You do not need a new one if the old one works. What was the old covenant? It was God to Abraham saying, I will be your God and you will be my people. Go to where I tell you. It was the giving of the laws and the commandments to Moses, as cited here. This was the way people could show they belonged to God. Remember Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Love the Lord, remember the Lord, remember my commandments, carry them with you, teach them to your children. This is how you will know you are mine and I am yours. What was the problem with this covenant? Sin. This is what we looked at last week. You know what these covenants are like? They're kind of like the roofs on our homes protecting us from the elements. The covenants are our roofs, and our sins are punching holes in them. Some holes are bigger than others, but they are all holes, and they are all ruining our protection. We try to patch these holes on our own, and in doing so, we create more holes. This is the old covenant. The old covenant was a leaky roof, and we caused it to leak, and everything we did made it worse and not better. This may lead to tarps on the roof and buckets in your floor, but eventually it means you need a new roof. You need a new protection from the elements, and it also has to protect itself from you. You are the one making the holes. You see, we are all sinners. And they were all sinners, and they turned from God at every turn, turned to their own ways and their own laws and their own gods. And this meant destroying this old covenant. The old covenant served its purpose well, but its purpose was not to save God's people. Its purpose was to show God's people that they needed saving. They could not do it on their own, could not keep a solid roof over their heads. Jeremiah points this out throughout his book as he condemns them and judges them and lets them know what their fate will be. We see this indictment again and again on the pages of our New Testament, in our Gospels, in the book of Romans. All have sinned and all have fallen short. All have turned from God. We saw this last week. This is why Jesus came. He came so that all who have turned could turn back to Him, could be judged no more, be condemned no more. We needed a better covenant, a better roof, a better way. Jesus is the way. Faith is the way. Next, we will see that Jeremiah tells his people and us that this better covenant is coming. God has a better way. What does Jeremiah say the better way is? I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. Law is law, right? So what's the difference? It will no longer be a command to correct on your own or commit yourself to God's laws. God says He will do it for us, still required, but done for us. He will write it within us. God's laws and commandments will be kept by God, changing our very hearts. Ezekiel says something very similar. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." This is the same idea, this idea of having a hardness toward God's ways until He softens your heart. What is the difference about this passage in Ezekiel? He not only gives us a way, but the how. God's Spirit within you will change your heart. We talked about this last week. It is God's Spirit that renews you, that makes you His, and here it is dealing with the heart. This is not the only place in Scripture we see these concepts of spirit and heart combined together. Ezekiel 11, earlier in Ezekiel, he says, "I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them." Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Romans 5:5, "God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." This is the better way. This is the new covenant. It is not that God was surprised that the old covenant did not work. Before even time began, he knew it would take his son. Before creation, he knew that Creator must die for it. It took living through the old covenant to open the eyes of his people, to open our eyes, to see our inability to keep God's ways, to live out the perfection it takes to be faithful to God. It cannot be done unless it is done by someone perfect. Enter the Holy Trinity. The perfect Son, the perfect Father sends the perfect Son, and then the perfect Son sends the perfect Spirit. It took all three to accomplish what God demands. We must see this. The better way was to rely on God. The new covenant works because of God. If we cannot see the need for the Trinity to work on our behalf, then we cannot see the need for a Savior. If we cannot see a need for a Savior, then we cannot see our own sinful natures. Look across the pages of Scripture. Look across the pages of history. Every civilization that has ever lived has demonstrated this need for Jesus. Humanity could not even walk the line with just two people in the garden. Just two. Today we see evil and wickedness all around us. You cannot turn on your TV or open that phone or go out on the town without seeing the need for Jesus all around us. What about our need? If you believe, then you have seen that you could not do it on your own. This is what faith means. It may not have felt that way. We all made a choice to follow, to be baptized, to join a church, to volunteer. These are decisions and we made them. But look at the words in our text. When God says I, he does not mean you. When God says he will take action, it does not depend on you. All the decisions were yours, but they were made with the Spirit being poured out within you. Paul says, your faith is yours, but first, it was a gift poured out inside of you. This is the heart change Scripture speaks of. Have we had this change? Do we have new hearts from God? How do we know? Let's look at this next. What does your heart say? Now, when I wrote those words, I could not get it out of my mind, that old song that my children used to listen to, what does the fox say? What does the fox say? They ingrained that into our minds and our house. What does your heart say? Jeremiah 31:31 was our starting off point this morning. In this scripture we read, we're told that this new covenant is going to work because it depends on God and not on us. Thank God for this. Amen. In this scripture, it tells us the new covenant will be written on our hearts by God. Also in this scripture, it tells us that because of this act by God, which was through his Son on the cross and through his Spirit in our lives, this act will lead to life change. It says, they shall be my people, the they being those with new hearts. And I will be their God. It says these people who have been changed by God, writing on their very hearts, will have their iniquities forgiven, and God will know their sins no more. Amen? This makes this idea of a heart change very important. According to Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the Gospels and Paul, only these people with new hearts are forgiven. This makes knowing if your heart has been changed extremely important. Not if you've been baptized. Not if you've joined the church. Not if you tithe weekly. Not if you volunteer whenever you can. Not even if you share the gospel. These things are all important. and reveal a life lived for God, but they do not make you born again. They do not change your heart. They do not offer eternal life. Spirit-filled, heart-changing belief in the Son of God does this. That's it. Faith alone. We have an epidemic in this country. And I'm not talking about COVID-19. What I'm talking about takes place inside the church buildings all across this nation. Not in our building, but in many buildings. The strive for money and for fame and for growth and prosperity has led to an alarming trend. Thousands of people being baptized without ever experiencing change in their life, without ever having their hearts of stone turned into flesh by true faith in the Son of God.
Amen.
This is why churches no longer stand on truth, and why churches are giving in to culture around them, and it is why churches are dying. And when I say dying, I mean the churches that have had to close their doors. And I mean the churches with thousands of members and no Spirit of God in their lives. These churches are dead too. They just do not know it yet. When churches start looking like the culture around them, it is because heart change is lacking. Paul battled this concept day one of the church in the first century. Many of his letters are about it. And this battle is still ongoing today. Since this idea of the heart is so important, we should be able to turn to Scripture for guidance. Here are a few guidelines to a changed heart. First, ask for it. This is so simple, and yet many have not done this. It would be like knowing exactly what you want for your birthday, but telling no one. Why do this? You want to be disappointed? Maybe you want to have an argument or a fight with someone. To get what you want, someone else other than you has to know about it. You may say, well, I dropped hints and suggestions and that should have been enough. This may be correct. Maybe you should know this person better than that. You should know what they want. But what I suggest to you is that you not play around with your salvation like you do other gifts in your life. Get right to the point. Ask God for change in your life. Ask God for a new heart. Psalm 51:10, we just saw it earlier. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cleansing was a necessary step in the Old Testament to come back to God. David here pleads to be made right again. This should be our plea. Cleanse and restore us. Listen to Paul writing to Titus. Titus 3, verse 5. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. There it is. Not by us, by Him, through the Holy Spirit. A new spirit and a new heart is what it takes, and we should ask for nothing less. James says we do not have because we do not ask, or we ask with our own desires in mind and not God's. It may not be in your timing, and it may not happen the way you think. This should not stop us from wanting salvation and asking for it. Have we done this? Next, examine your life to see if this change is actually playing out. A new heart and God's Spirit working within you should be obvious. The dead made alive by Christ is what Paul says. This should be obvious. It may be subtle or gradual, and it may be extreme, but there will be change.
Yeah.
It is funny that we know this concept well in our lives. Cause and effect is what it is called. Change your eating habits and your exercise habits and you will lose weight. Change jobs or get more training and education and you make more money. Practice something and get better at it. We know that every action has a reaction. Every cause has an effect. We know this, but then when it comes to the most important thing in our lives, salvation, we assume action with no reaction. We assume cause and yet see no effect. This is what we do every time we see someone praise Jesus in public while nothing in their lives change. Everything stays the same and sin is still king, though God's Spirit dwelling within is claimed. It does not make sense, and yet we accept it. We should not accept it, because their very eternal lives are at stake. Our eternal lives are at stake. The book of Matthew says, test your faith, because some will be surprised in the end. I never knew you, will be the words for those claiming Jesus with no change in their hearts. The book of Matthew also says that what comes out of your heart is what defiles you. There is where evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, slander, and all these other evils come from. That is what it says. This list of evil will try to rule you and destroy you. Your loved ones are not safe from this list. Your marriage is not safe from this list. You must fight. This is a fight you must win. Do whatever you must to flee from these things. It says they originate from your heart. And if these things rule your life, then maybe your heart is not what you say it is. Stumbling is one thing. And we all stumble. But to be gripped by evil, flowing from a heart, said to be changed, is not a stumble, but a wake-up call. Look to Jesus and be made new. It is faith that saves, but James says claiming faith without it being shown in your life is useless. This faith is dead, is what he says. No change equals no faith. No faith equals no salvation. No salvation equals hell.
Amen.
This is what dead faith means. This may seem harsh, but it is the reality around us. And it is the reality for us. Your faith must be found to be real. Heart change produces life change. Spirit-filled on the inside means Spirit-filled on the outside. Who needs to hear this from you? Who in your life needs to wake up? Maybe the person you're thinking of is you. Today we've seen that the Old Covenant was never meant to save God's people. He knew they could never keep it. The Old Covenant was meant to reveal that we needed saving, that we could not do it on our own. The New Covenant was ushered in by Jesus through His perfection and His sacrificial death, and it is worked out inside of us by the Holy Spirit. All three of the Trinity working on our behalf. This is where our new hearts come from. We've also seen that this salvation being worked out within us will reveal itself in our lives. Our Christian walks show our Christianity to the world. If sin is still king, then heart change has not taken place. Not if you still sin. We all still sin. But rather, if your sin rules over you. We said, do not accept a faith claim that does not have change following it. We also said, make sure that those around you have come to God for this change. Have asked God for salvation. I want to close today by reading some words from Paul. Romans 10, verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I want you to close your eyes. Everyone in here, close your eyes for a moment. I want you to close your eyes and forget about the mistakes of your past. Forget about who you used to be. Go ahead and forget about all the doctrines and theology we find on the pages of our Bibles for a moment. Put these things aside and hear the words of Paul. Believe in your heart and confess in the Son of God. It is that easy. Everything else we discuss today happens if this belief is had. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And you will have this changed heart. And it will be seen in your life. Is this you? Your salvation depends on it. Your eternity depends on it. Search your life. Push your past aside. Push your pride aside. Push your emotions aside. Have you ever had your heart changed by God? Do you have anyone in your life that would agree? If not, please cry out to Him today. Do not wait. Do not let your moment pass you by. You do not have to come to me. Go to someone else. Pray with someone in this room. Believe and be saved. It is that simple. What does your heart say? What does your life say? Bring any other needs at all as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity to gather as your people and to dive into your holy word together. Father, help this concept of a changed heart set upon us. Help us carry this with us throughout our day. We all have someone in our lives that need to be changed by God. We all have someone in our lives that need to meet your Son for the very first time. To have their life renewed. To have their heart renewed. To have the Spirit working within them. As we leave today, help us answer the question, has our heart been changed? And who in our lives needs this same message? In Jesus' name, I pray.